Welcome to The Scrap Show, a production of Recycling Today. Covering the business of scrap metal recycling, we feature conversations about markets, technology, the industry's rich history, and the traditions and ways of doing business that stay reliably familiar. Listen in as guests from across the country and around the world, processors, traders, and industry allies provide insights and observations. The Scrap Show, a conversation between friends in an industry with a rich history and a bright future.
Hello, I'm Deanne Toto, Editorial Director of the Recycling Today Media Group. In this episode of The Scrap Show, I am talking with Colin Kelly, who is Vice President of Public Affairs at Radius Recycling and also the incoming chair of ISRI. I believe you'll be taking office in April, right, during the convention. Is that correct, Colin?
That is correct, Ian. Thank you.
Well, we're pleased to talk with you today. I've got some ISRI-focused questions and some more general questions that we'll be touching on. But if there's anything in particular that you want to talk about, please feel free to interject. So let's start off by describing how you came to be in your current role at Radius and just your overall tenure with the company.
Yeah. So I'm coming up on 17 years with formerly Schnitzer Steel, now Radius Recycling. I started off handling public affairs for the Northeast region where I reside, and had an opportunity after being in the restaurant business for years to meet some of the folks while I was on the city council in Everett, Mass., where our export and shredding facility is. And years later, after I had sold my restaurants and doing some work for the Chamber of Commerce, they came and asked me if I would be interested in doing some of this work, and met with them over the next year or so. And lo and behold, 18 years ago, I started doing this. So it's pretty interesting. During those 18 years, I was promoted to head up the public affairs department for Radius Recycling, and I've got a team of 5 people in the regions throughout the country that I oversee and work closely with. And it's been a very rewarding experience.
From restaurant to scrap, was that transition like?
So, you know, somewhere along the line, I knew of the facility in Everett. I obviously had been renewing their permits on a regular basis, so I knew enough about them. Years later, they had invested a considerable amount of money in the facility. When I was in the restaurant business, I actually delivered lunches down there. And I was contacted by one of their general managers to consider coming down and seeing if I'd be interested in it. And I said, I have no interest in doing that. And, you know, I had this vision in my mind that was altogether different than what it was then. We ended up going to lunch one day, and then he suggested I meet some of their colleagues, and one thing led to another. When I was on the city council, I started a recycling program back for the city, the first one we had with a colleague. So recycling was kind of important to me personally. I always saw the value of it. You know, one thing about this industry is, make no mistake about it, the industry leaders and people that work in this industry are some of the brightest that I've ever met. It's very rewarding and interesting to me. So I think that's what's kept me engaged in it. But coming not from a metal recycling facility background, I needed to learn what the industry was really about. And that's how I came to intersect with ISRI. My boss at the time at Schnitzer had suggested I attend an ISRI meeting. I went to the first New England chapter meeting, and lo and behold, I was elected vice president at that meeting and said, I think you're making a mistake. You got the wrong guy. Everybody was willing to share ideas. Everybody was willing to offer anything. And it was kind of rewarding for me to go to that first meeting, develop some great long-term relationships. And that led to national meetings and so on and so forth. And that's how it intersected with ISRI.
So have you been involved with ISRI basically as long as your tenure with
Radius? You know, when I was there, and you know, there was certainly onboarding, but I wanted to learn more. I wanted to understand the breadth of what the industry did. I wanted to understand who some of the other leaders were. And it was suggested, well, go to a national meeting after I went to the local meeting. And, you know, then I met some of the ISRI staff. Robin Weiner, Mark Ryder, God rest his soul, was a big influence on me getting involved there. Billy Johnson, the safety program really interested me because, again, I was very green in the industry. And it allowed me to learn what it was all about. Being a Chamber of Commerce guy was certainly something that weighed heavily on me because I believed in association work. I always have believed that together we can accomplish more than we can alone. So it became very evident that this was a very good group for me to be involved with.
Switching gears now, Radius, you mentioned recently rebranded the former Schnitzer. What prompted that rebranding and how does it play into what the company is seeing more broadly in terms of the recycling industry, the focus on decarbonization, things along those lines?
Yeah. And so you're hitting on where the rebranding came from, right? You know, as our company expanded its business with bigger investments in ferrous and non-ferrous in the metal recycling side, it became apparent that our name no longer represented where our true scope of products was. So you would go to a meeting and you'd say Schnitzer Steel Industries. Oh, where are your steel mills? And it became more of a hassle to start to explain what we did, how we did it, where we did it, and so on. We kind of came up to the idea that we needed a new name to better align our company's identity and direction. The initiative took a collaboration of variety stakeholders, including external branding experts, leadership within the company. And what resonated was the Radius. It starts to talk about the circularity of the industry, and it started to resonate with us. You know, that's kind of where it came from. But make no mistake that the values of Schnitzer, safety, sustainability, and integrity, will be and continue to be our core values. So nothing has changed on that. It's just a better way to explain where our industry is. As we have learned, words matter.
Yes. And hopefully we'll touch on that a little bit more, that allusion to ISRI's language project. So you talked already a bit about your involvement with ISRI over the years. Yeah. Can you talk more specifically how the association has helped you specifically and the company stay attuned to the industry changes and opportunities that might be out there?
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting. On a personal note, it has allowed me to grow and understand what we do, right? We've got some small companies. We've got some large companies. The one thing that resonated with me early on is it doesn't matter what size of a company you are. You're faced with the same legislative challenges that any company is faced with. And it then becomes, what do you do with them, right? And again, you're stronger together than you are on your own. So it has allowed my company and other companies to work collaboratively to come up with solutions to offer a legislator on bad legislation, to encourage good legislation. And for me, we have to do that. We're at a critical point in our industry that engagement is second to none. You know, if I go back in time, I think there was a period of time when many companies thought just build a higher fence and keep people out and they don't know what we do. Today at Radius Recycling, our team is always looking at bringing people in for tours, whether they're legislators, whether they're educators, whether they're a stakeholder in the community, whether they're our neighbor. Come in, understand what we do. And by the way, after you see our facility, when you go back to your office, look at your desk and tell me if anything on that desk isn't made from what we manufacture, what we produce in our processes.
Certainly, I've encountered throughout my years covering the industry a reluctance among some companies to be profiled or, you know, featured in the magazine at all. They prefer to fly under the radar. That's, you know, the story I've been told countless times. And I feel like within the last few years, maybe that attitude is beginning to change. Are you seeing that as well? And what do you think is causing that shift in mentality?
I definitely do. I definitely do. You know, if you told me that 10 years ago we would be entering into partnerships with schools and collaborations with schools that ultimately then offer scholarships or job opportunities, I probably would not have believed you. Fast forward, as we look at how the world changes, decarbonization, EV vehicles, rebuilding infrastructure, all takes our material, right? So if you weren't proud of what you did back 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, Jesus, you got to be proud today, because we are the ones that will make it happen. I do think people are more willing to say, yeah, you know, I am important. I can remember having led a tour at one of our facilities, and one of our stakeholders, who might not have been a true friend at the beginning of the tour, was standing in front of the infeed pile, and she said to me, "You must be proud coming to work here." And I wasn't sure how that question was being asked, but I said, "I am. I'm proud every day." And she says, "I can see it, because where would this go if you weren't here? But more important, where would the material be sent other than up to a landfill? It's so important that this material stay in the flow of recycling." And that's when I knew that geez, these tours really do resonate. And, you know, prior to that, and I know we touched on the Lexicon project that we used, we would always want to talk about our investment in a new shredder, in a bigger crane, in more heavy equipment. But at the end of the day, that's how we run our business. Our real value is the outputs that we make. I think you have to see it to understand it. When you really think about manufacturing, right, you think about building something. But what we do is we unmanufacture it. And we create those materials that are so critical to the future direction of this company, this country, that I think that's why people are really thinking about telling their story.
And we all know that if you don't tell your own story, it's easy for the narrative to get distorted. And
awesome. I totally agree. I mean, I think it, you know, from time to time, there are stories that are written about recycling. And I can remember one in particular, "Recycling is broken." And someone hijacked our ability to tell them that they were wrong. I don't think recycling is broken. I think it might be misunderstood. And if 20 people can get together and go to a capital and talk about what we're doing, I think we can do better, a better job of that. And that's something that my company is doing. It's something that ISRI is doing. And ISRI is developing those programs to say, hey, let's do this, right? I really feel that that is the movement coming on right now.
I feel like we're still battling that narrative from, you know, Operation Green Fence and Operation Sword, that recycling is broken. And it totally ignores all the investment and progress that has been made in recycling, in consuming recyclables domestically.
It is out there. It is still a topic of discussion without question.
So what do you think then are some of the foremost challenges that the industry is facing, or Radius recycling in particular might be facing, and how are you working to address them, and how is ISRI helping out?
Yeah. So interesting, right? I think we both approach them a little bit different, but we get to the same end zone. And what I mean by that, as operators of facilities, we worry about items like PFAS liability. And ISRI is working on that, but we are the boots on the ground that are faced with it sooner, right? It's a new thing. It's a new item. It's a new regulation. So
yes, those forever chemicals.
Yeah, you know,
they're in everything.
So, and they're everywhere, right? And you know, there's not a scanner that we can do
like one of the handheld analyzers,
right? Yeah. You know, it's everywhere. As operators, we think of things like that. I think the outreach that we do with stakeholders, as you know, companies like mine are very, very important. And then ISRI is looking at the electrification and how we play that role. They're always looking at safety procedures, working with OSHA to develop a partnership with them to help us. They're working on our insurance associations and how we can continue to keep our insurance where it needs to be. You know, if it weren't for our trade association, some of these challenges become insurmountable. And I think working together is the way we do that. We constantly have to be for free and fair trade. So, I mean, all of those things come together. Some of us work locally, some of us work federally. I kind of think ISRI is that thread that kind of gets us together, as long as you're willing to share. And ISRI is constantly upgrading our staff. Industry changes, people leave, new people come in, talents are recognized, and programs get developed. We've been very, very fortunate with some of the recent hires, because one thing that ISRI has had, in my eyes, is top-notch staff that are willing to go and work with you. And there's not a challenge that they say, hey, that's too big for us. So I do think there are many challenges facing us. I'm not stupid enough to realize that, you know, everything is perfect and the world is going to go on. We need to stay on top of this. We need to be talking about what we do, how we do it, the environmental stewardship that each of our companies hold, and what our values are in that recycling chain.
For somebody who is new to the industry and they're looking for a way to be more involved, would you direct them first to their local ISRI chapter?
Should always be involved locally, because that's where you're going to meet your colleagues that you could interact with on a business relationship, right? If you meet someone and you're based in Boston, you meet someone in California, chances are you're not going to do business, okay? With that being said, you can learn from the individual in California. So I do think locally is very effective. But what I think is also effective is to understand the outreach that the industry has. You know, when I started back a number of years ago, I thought the recycling industry was in Everett, right? And I was fortunate enough to understand then that our company was a little bit bigger and we had operations on the coasts in Hawaii and Canada. And so I started to put the pieces together that this is bigger than just Massachusetts. If you're just here, you don't understand that. So I really think the way ISRI has been set up with 4 board meetings per year, and we move them around the country. If you can attend a national board meeting, you should. You then understand the footprint of what we do, the advocacy we experience, even the international travel that we have. And, you know, as we chatted, I was in India the last 2 weeks. And, you know, one of the meetings we had was with the steel minister. And Brian Hennessy and Robin, myself and Adam Schaefer met with the steel minister to talk about keeping the borders for trade there. And the conversation was about the respect that they have for our material and the respect we have for what they're doing. Those are very, very important conversations. Maybe you don't realize it, but that material that's at your facility, even if you're that small one-yard operator, would end up in India. And those meetings are so important to build relationships with our colleague in all parts of the country.
You had brought up the importance of free and fair trade to ISRI, and it seems as if lately there has been a lot more talk about protectionism, about the need to keep scrap within borders. I believe it came up there at MRAI during some of the sessions as well. Can you talk a little bit to the short-sightedness of that protectionist approach?
Yeah, I just think that be careful what you ask for. The market creates the opportunity. I think that some areas are looking at it in a much different light than what they should be looking at. You know, hopefully they'll see the value of free and fair trade and not that protectionism, if you will, because I do think that they will be disappointed with the direction that they're going in.
Sure, ISRI is more than happy to have those discussions and educate people as to the unintended consequences, perhaps, of...
Nobody, if you believe in something and you're advocating for it, you know, you give your theory and they give their theory. And hopefully you come back in a year and there's a different level of respect and table setting that can take place. I'm not saying that we can go in and cure it after one conversation, but I think staying true to your roots, staying true to what you believe in, I think is what creates the ability to have those conversations in a respectful manner.
And we talked a little bit about decarbonization and that trend and how it led Radius to the name to evolve. So what other opportunities do you believe lay ahead for recycling companies, and how can ISRI help these companies make the most of these opportunities?
Yeah, I think there are great opportunities. I mean, ESG in the roadmap on how some of the smaller companies can get to ESGs. Mm-hmm. And we were working on a toolkit for that. You know, I will just take a little bit of a proud moment here. You know, 2023, Radius Recycling was selected as the world's most sustainable company. This year, a competitor of ours, an ISRI member, Sims Metal Management, is the world's most sustainable company. Think about that. For 2 years in a row, Metals Recycling were the world's most sustainable companies. Now, you're going up against windmill manufacturers. Just think about that. Somebody there values what we do and what in the role that we play. Our commitment to the circular economy is extremely important, and that's why we brought the National Roadmap for a Safe and Circular Economy and the electrification. We kicked it off down in South Carolina. We see EVs. We see it being talked about. We hear it. We get it. We've got extremely qualified educational programs around EV batteries and the safe handling of them. And I think that is something great. I think when you look at what we develop in our trade shows, our convention, which is coming up April 15th to the 18th, there's a plug.
Yes.
You know, those workshops create another great way to learn about what's going on, whether it's workforce development, whether it's EV batteries, whether it's ESG. And then you go to the ferrous, the non-ferrous, the paper, the plastics, the tires, the rubber, you know, so on and so forth. I just think that those platforms are certainly action, you know, they're there. You can learn it. So I think there's just great ways. We've done some great work with developing pathways into educational outlets. That's something that Radius has been committed to for the last 5 years, and now ISRI is doing that. You know, we've worked with some students with disabilities to bring them into the workforce. You know, something that maybe you're not thinking about when you're in your office in, you know, whatever, you know, Bayonne, New York, but it's there, and you can learn those abilities and how your company can get involved with them. So I think there are some great opportunities, but again, meeting people and understanding what other companies are doing, we can learn from one another.
So are there any particular ISRI initiatives that are going to be at top of your priority list when you assume your role as chair?
So, you know, listen, there's no secret. We've done a rebranding project. We've started with our lexicon project. Mm-hmm. So rebranding will be, for me, a big part. I think keeping the momentum of our online as well as in-person meetings is going to be very important to us. I believe there's a number of untapped recyclers that we haven't even engaged with to understand our ability. So membership is going to be important to me. Our ESG tool in getting it out to our members is very, very important. You know, I think of some of the offerings that we have, you know, the Jason Learning Program. You know, some of our members have taken advantage of it and it has been extremely beneficial for them. I can think of one company in New York that educated the whole school system. We need to get more people to understand how that project works. And, you know, that's an initiative for me. I truly believe to be successful, we need kids to understand what we do. And a kid coming home from school, sitting at a dinner table and starting to tell mom and dad and Nana and Papa, geez, I learned about this today. I think that's how the message gets out there. And, you know, again, we go back to the tours, right? You know, not everybody wants to bring a Boy Scout troop through a metal recycling facility or a paper recycling facility or any kind of recycling facility, but we have to, right? They have to understand where this goes. So, you know, we do it in a way that is safe, and that's how that message gets out there. I mean, that's why, you know, years ago, we would just sponsor a baseball team and you'd put your name on the back of the jersey. Well, that's sort of like putting safety first on the back of the jersey when you really need to explain to people what it is. And, yeah. And you need to walk that walk. And I think as an industry, we have seen an improvement in that. I think there are still steps to take, and that will be important for me. You know, I delivered comments at at last year's board meeting about our industry has been misunderstood for years, and people have taken over our message. And little by little, we're taking our message back, but we have to amplify that. And I think it's very important. And I truly believe that our lexicon project and how we talk about what we do is very, very important, because people get it. You know, when you point them that that material is going to come back as this or that, it becomes very, very evident.
I was wondering the extent to which ISRI is concerned about the environmental justice issue.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We have an EJ task force that has been formed. We are building successes and failures around it. I was remiss that I left that off, because it is front and center. One of the issues that we have is we're in every state, and this is legislative season, and our staff is really taxed with the quantity of bills that are coming in. We've got really excellent staff there. They're reading those bills. They come back with the highlights of the bills. They send them to the chapter, and then the chapter reviews them and comes up with a work plan. ISRI supports them with messaging and things like that. So yes, EJ is front and center. The long plan is to get people to understand the role we play. The short game is that people misunderstand us and think that we are the stressor to that, right? And we have seen that in more states than what we would like to see it in. You know, if you want a low carbon future, if you want EV vehicles, it's this plant that plays the most important part of that. I don't know how else you can get that message across. I also think the industry is changing. We're getting younger people, and we should want that, right? Mm-hmm. I think we see some family businesses that will or are turning over. The generation of today looks at things differently than the way dad or grandpa or aunt or uncle looked at it, which I think helps our industry mature.
You also brought up the ESG issue, yeah, which stands for environmental, social, and corporate governance. Do you feel like ISRI's membership has a true understanding of the role they can play around ESG reporting, or do you feel like there is a need for more education to the industry in that area?
Very interesting question. I think this year they understand it more than last year. Mm-hmm. You know, I think as they go out and do work with publicly traded or power companies and things like that, they are required, right? So I think they get it now more than ever before. Prior to this, it was that's for the public companies.
Yeah.
and that's not the case anymore. So I do think that people are coming around to it.
In the area of advocacy, are there any particular successes that ISRI saw in the last couple of years that you feel it's worth noting?
I think there have been catalytic converter successes in the southeast region of the country. I think there has been some environmental justice wins in Connecticut, but there are some that we have not won. I would be remiss if I didn't focus on the ones we didn't win. I know everybody would like to just celebrate the ones we win, but at the end of the day, until folks have enough respect in our industry and treat us like a partner in the community rather than, you know, that child that you want to give up for adoption, I really feel passionate that we have a lot of work to do.
Is there anything on the association's advocacy agenda for 2024 that particularly speaks to you?
Definitely environmental justice. definitely the outreach that we're going to be doing and the continuing drumbeat on the electrification and circularity. You know, that's kind of where we are. That's our space. That's what we do. The outreach that we're doing to auto manufacturers. You know, I also think that design for recycling has to be amplified. We often talk about design for recycling in a packaging sense, right? And you know, how the K cups can be recycled. And I get it. But I also wonder if it doesn't enter into catalytic converters and how they're made. And shouldn't they be made in a way that they can't be stolen? But if you're going to design something, talk to us. Let's collaborate on what that looks like. Again, our role is so important in the critical materials industry for long-term viability for this country. And, you know, we as a company will continue to work on that. And we as an industry will continue to do that. I'm very optimistic for the next 2 years. I'm actually optimistic for the next 6 years. I don't know who our secretary treasurer will be. Andy Golding will be the vice president, Neil Bice, second vice president. So I think we're really positioned with great leadership for the next number of years. Maybe not so great with the next 2 years, but I think our industry has great leaders coming up, and you know, I'm extremely excited about the future for our industry, our trade association. You know, I just hope that we can continue to work with our federal partners, like, you know, Department of Commerce, like when we did the ISRI specs this year, that was a big deal for them to reach out and work with us on that. And OSHA to work with us on some of our grant programs for safety programs. That tells me that we're making a difference, right? If they're willing to partner with us, we're making a difference. And I'm excited about it.
Anything else then that you would like to add?
I don't think so. Sometimes I ramble, so I'll apologize. If you can't tell, I'm extremely passionate about this industry, the people that are in it.
Well, I thank you for your time today and for the insights you shared.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. You have a wonderful rest of the week.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.